the early 1980s, this song was a big hit in both the United States and south of the border. Mexican radio came by way of a Los Angeles-based punk new wave group called Wall of Voodoo. I'm on a Mexican radio. Their brief moment in the sun is now ancient history to band leader Stan Ridgway, but the subject does come up on his new solo CD. More about that later. First, here's what Ridgway has been doing since the Wall of Voodoo broke up in 1983. He's continued to write intriguing and iconoclastic songs, which are often set in the dusty deserts of California and the American Southwest, and populated with eccentric characters. His new recording is called Snakebite, Blacktop Ballads and Fugitive Songs. Wake up, Sally, yeah, the cops are here. They keep knocking at the door. Flashlight shining through the window in front. Keep quiet and lay flat on the floor. Now someone must have told them we were hiding out here. I bet you big dumb brother told a friend. Stan Ridgway joins us from the studios of NPR West. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Leanne. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. If you don't mind, I'm going to take you to the very beginning of your biography. You grew up in Barstow, California?
I was born in Barstow and then moved.
Did a lot of the characters that appear in your songs, I mean, did you find them there and then they ended up populating these songs of yours?
Yeah, you know, I do get asked this question a lot, and I have to say I used to make up an answer and say, oh, yeah, you know, I met them and I know them and I'm like them or something. But I really don't really know why they're there.
Let's talk about one, though. This seems ripe for kind of the short story and with a character. King for a Day.
Yeah, I'm driving down your freeway in a brand new car that I just found. Parked there in your driveway, didn't want to wake you with the sound. So I pushed it down the street, hopped and running, I rolled the window down. Yeah, I'm doing 95 now, I'm smoking crack, it can't be beat.
You know, he's kind of related a bit to another song on the album, Wake Up Sally, the Cops Are Here. It kind of came from that song and seemed to jump out of that song and into a car, another car, and then that happened.
Hey, I'm doing 110 now. Can you still hear me on your phone? I got 100 cops behind me and overhead I hear choppers groan. Oh, I'm headed for the wall now. Gotta hang up now. Thanks for the loan.
Your wife, Pietra Wexton, she's been your musical collaborator. She plays keyboards. She does vocals. Is she also a partner in the songwriting department?
Well, Pietra and I have been together since like 1978, actually before Wall of Voodoo. I would say we've probably collaborated on everything, because there's nothing I do that I don't talk with her about.
The city streets burst at their seams and flood the earth with people's dreams, but you're only concerned with some new shoe.
One song I haven't asked you about, it's a sweet song in its own way, but it also packs its own punch, Our Manhattan Moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pietra and I wrote that together. We were thinking of the city, too. We both love New York and love to visit there whenever we can. And there's also like an element in New York of a kind of, oh, I don't know if even listeners would remember Oscar Levant.
Oh, yes.
And we were kind of involved in a Pietra and I on that song in kind of an Oscar Levant world.
Oh.
And just the sense of upper class ennui.
Oh, sure.
But now you're pointless, lazy drawl puts me to sleep and then I fall into a place where I'm encased in blue.
I mean, Henry Mancini was certainly one of an influence, but I think even more than Henry was Jerry Goldsmith, who recently just passed away. Hmm. One of the first movies, I mean, I certainly got into all the James Bond movies. I was like a lot of kids, you know, I was out in the backyard with a briefcase looking for a dagger to put in it, you know, and trying to find like some sort of secret code ring, or because the music was so evocative, you know. Yeah. And then Jerry Goldsmith did a movie called Our Man Flint. I just loved that movie. I just thought James Coburn was just Mr. Cool. That was too much. I was so into that piece of music on Our Man Flint, Jerry Goldsmith's themed Our Man Flint, that I ended up using just a bit of it on the end of the old Ring of Fire cover that Wall of Voodoo did.
The Ring of Fire.
Was Wall of Voodoo originally set up to create movie soundtracks?
Well, that's what I thought it would do. I thought, well, the thing to do, I'll start a soundtrack company in Hollywood and just do music for science fiction and low-budget films. I mean, they're horrible films anyway, some of these really low-budget things. I shouldn't have any trouble getting work, you know. And, well, that I didn't really get any, but I had a nice facade on the office. I had, like, a big metal desk and a sign on the front door. I had a phone with a rotary phone that I'd fixed up with several lights on it that kept blinking. There was no one on the line, but when anybody came in, it looked like things were really busy. And I had a chalkboard with all kinds of projects on it that were going to happen. And I was, it kind of turned into a band after a while because there really wasn't any soundtrack work for us to do.
Now two are gone to heaven.
You do, on the new CD, Talkin' Wall of Voodoo Blues.
I know the song started to come up inside of me after Joe Nannini died a couple years ago. And then Mark Moreland, the original guitar player for Wall of Voodoo, well, the only real guitar player for Wall of Voodoo, died a couple years ago, too. You know, it really put me to the side of the road for a while. And so it started to seem to me that Wall of Voodoo needed a song. You know?
Now it seemed like that old voodoo dog we had was paying for its fleas. We'd lost control of our own band to the record company. Yeah, I guess we blew it big time. Business got us bent. We played a show for 40 grand and the manager took every cent.
You're also giving advice to the new generations. I mean, you know, the lyric, if you want to make a band, get ready for a good ride. Don't let weasels, sharks, and thieves and creeps force you to compromise.
It's a cautionary tale.
Yeah. You have to tell us where the name Wall of Voodoo came from.
I had a collection of rhythm machines, old Wurlitzer organs, and they would have mambo and samba on them, and you could press buttons and turn up the speed all the way, and they would just be madness. And on my old Sony two-track tape recorder, I would overdub these things and try to get them to be all, you know, synchronized. And one night I was doing this, and I turned to my friend Joe Ramirez, a musician friend of mine. I looked to him, I said, you know, Joe, it's like Phil Spector. I'm doing this wall of sound. It's like a wall of sound, you know. And Joe said, no, Stan, I think it's more like a wall of voodoo. And that kind of stuck with me, and I have to say that Joe really named whatever the band became at that point. But honestly, all of us in the band, when we started playing as Wall of Voodoo, we felt the name was so large and so, like, foreboding or something. Like, how could we ever be that? Also, a lot of places wouldn't book us because the name itself scared them. I mean, they really thought we were going to be like Zulu warriors, you know, with spears and shields and I don't know what. You know, like we were, no, I said, you know, we're from Los Angeles, you know, I mean, you know.
Oh, that helped, right?
Yeah, I guess it, maybe, you know.
You're releasing your music on your own label, mm-hmm. and you've been putting out music for decades. But I read in an interview that you did, and I'm going to quote you, "I probably should have stopped doing this a few albums ago, but I just can't let go." Why do you feel like you should stop?
You know, I'm obsessed with music and songs, and I can't seem to stop doing it. I do enjoy it, and I'm not regretful of the choice in vocation, but I guess I'm always looking for some place to go. I mean, where do you belong? I guess in America, you know, there's such a... You just can't help but not be struck with the obsession of success and failure. America's a pretty rough place for an artist. It's a time in this country, really, where I think there is a large amount of people that feel kind of disenfranchised, pulled off from really what promises the country is supposed to have. I'm always trying to examine, like, what is this promise, you know? And some of the people in my albums are trying to find out the same thing.
I'll take your hand, we'll walk this land into the sun.
Stan Ridgway's new CD is called Snakebite Blacktop Ballads and Fugitive Songs. It's available on his own Red Fly label. Stan Ridgway joined us from the studios of NPR West. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leanne.
There's more information and full audio cuts on our website, npr.org.